All right, it's a new voice than the one that just left you, and I thank Damian for helping me out as I had some medical issues that I had to deal with and ran a little bit late, and so I am just here, and I'm glad I'm here because we have so much to talk about. Hope you're on your way to a fabulous Father's Day weekend if you're a dad, and if not, I hope you're on your way to a great weekend. We'll take your phone calls at 339-1140, 800-920-1140, again, 339-1140, and 800-920-1140. We'll be with you right up until 6 o'clock. We've got a lot of good guests lined up on the show today. As a matter of fact, Sam Amick from USA Today, he's going to be coming on at 4:05, Bobby Jackson at 5:05, and then we'll talk with Bob Nightingale. He'll be coming on at about 5:30. All right, your phone calls always welcome at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. All right, so where do I stand on everything with the NBA? First of all, I don't have a rooting interest, okay? Part of me is pulling for the Cavaliers because I have lifelong friends from college that have never seen a team win a championship. And I'm thinking, you know what? They've suffered long enough, but I just don't see the Golden State Warriors with the year that they've had and everything else losing on their home court in game 7. I just don't see that. Now, I'm not a big believer momentum in the playoffs. I'm not a big believer in baseball momentum. You're as good as your next day's pitcher. I'm not a big believer in the Stanley Cup playoffs in momentum. It doesn't exist. And I'm not a huge believer in momentum in the NBA playoffs. It would be very easy to say, well, gee, you know, who's got the momentum now? Well, it's the Cleveland Cavaliers. You could have made the same comment that Oklahoma City had all the momentum after they led 3-1, and they ended up losing 3 games in a row. So, you know, to me, I'm thinking about the Warriors overall, the fact that they're at home, and you know what? I don't know how you look at that, but I think that is a big advantage. Now, we know in Sacramento that just because you're at home for a game 7 doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to win. And, you know, in my opinion, the Kings beat themselves. They beat themselves because they missed 14 free throws. A lot of people forget about that. But the Sacramento Kings, in the game that was the biggest game in the history of the franchise, missed 14 free throws in game 7. All right, this is not the way I wanted to get involved in today's program, but James Hamm from CSN California, the Kings Insider, said that the Placer County District Attorney's Office has officially filed charges against Sacramento Kings guard Darren Collison. So, according to James Hamm, the Placer County District Attorney's Office has officially filed charges against Kings guard Darren Collison. All right, 339-1140. 800-920-1140. Why don't we get some calls going? Let's get to John. Hello, John.
How's it going, Grant?
What's happening?
Hope everything's good with your medical and everything like that.
Thank you, man.
Sir.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, so I want to start with Steph, man. He needs to man up. You know, he had a lot of wins this year. They had a great team. I wouldn't call it a great team, but it's a great shooting team. I really feel that OKC or the Spurs could have came out and complained about fouls and this and that. And of course, it's going to get grimier the later you go in the season, in the series. There's going to be a lot more greedy play and stuff like that. So he just needs to man up. There's actually LeBron is starting to take the ball to the rack more, and that's a big, big thing with Bogut out. And I just don't like how he all of a sudden, bam, turned to a baby. You know, he's held his composure for so long, and I really think that he's showing a lot of his real emotion. When he don't win these games, this amount of games, I think he's going to crack. I think he's going to fold, man. And, you know, of course, they got money to sign a big guy next year and maybe lock up Draymond, but, it's just foolish that he has to take that route. And I don't see, you know, I don't know. Tubbs gets a lot of bad treatment for a lot of things, and it's different. It's way different. But he needs to man up. There's no way that he needs to act like that. Another thing, real quick, Darren Collison, that's horrible. You know, he's really in trouble. I'm you know, a lot of guys that get in these kind of trouble, they'll come out at some point and say, listen, you know, it's wait for the news to drop. You know, I did nothing wrong. Just wait for it to happen. But that's not happening in this situation, and I don't see him on the Kings next year. And with that said, what do you think about the guard situation? Because right now, we currently only have Belly and McLemore, and it sounds like Jaeger kind of believes in McLemore, but, you know, I don't see you know, it's going to be hard to find a lot of stuff in the draft that we need.
Well, first of all, the allegations against Darren Collison are very serious, and they're not to be in any way, shape, or form understated. All right, that's number one. Number two, that doesn't mean he won't be playing for the Sacramento Kings or in the NBA next year. And so I think that I'm going to wait like everyone else and see what the actual charges are and then see what the judicial system does and then figure it out from there. It may be where you're 100% correct that he doesn't play for the Sacramento Kings next year. I don't make those decisions. I don't know. I want to hear the evidence. I want to see what the charges are, and I want to see what the evidence says. And the one nice thing is we'll all get a chance to see it because it will all be a matter of public record.
You know, if he really he's going to offend a lot of fans if there's really some violent charges. And
yeah,
it sounds like there is. I think I can see him going to the Knicks. The Knicks really wanted him, and we probably could get a few pieces, maybe two pieces, from them for Darren.
Yeah. Again, first things first. Let's see what the judicial process is going to be like. Let's see what the charges entail, and then let's go from there.
And I know it's all rumor and all hearsay, but is there any truth to the fact that there's a little bit of chatter about Rose or a possible another guy coming in via trade?
Is there what was the name of the person you were asking about?
Derrick Rose.
I would say that would be very, very unlikely. I would just say that. I would find that to be highly unlikely. Okay. You know, you were just talking about the Knicks. You know, there's a report out today that the Knicks are showing interest in Derrick Rose.
Okay. Okay, well, man, we just got a lot of salary in. We have a lot of big numbers into a lot of big guys.
Yeah. I wouldn't take Derrick Rose. I just think the risk is too great. He's missed too many games. He's only played in 50% of the Bulls' regular season games the last 4 years. And
yeah,
personally, I'm sorry, that's too risky for an organization like Sacramento, in my opinion.
And then with Cousins playing only 60 games, that's going to be bad having Rose off the court and Cousins.
Yeah, you know, the one thing about DeMarcus, if the reports are true, and I don't understand why they wouldn't be, but, you know, he's got his camp going on in Sacramento, and he's lost 20 pounds. And I think that is a big step in going forward with DeMarcus in terms of, you know, being able to be on the court more than 60 games. I think that's a great sign that he's down 20 pounds and wants to be a completely different type of a body when the season starts in October. And if he can keep his weight down like that, I think that's going to help out his knees, his feet. I think that is a really positive step for DeMarcus to get that number up to 75 or so.
That's a great stat you just quoted, my friend.
You like that?
One more thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I completely like that. I'm a big Cousins fan. I called you plenty days talking about Cousins,
yep.
And that's probably the biggest news that we've heard for a long time.
Yeah, I'm with you.
What do you think about Ryan Anderson? Is it true that he wants $20 million a year?
Well, with the way the salary cap is, he probably does. I don't know if I would pay him $20 million a year, but I guarantee he's going to have a lot of teams on July 1st calling up his agent's phone.
Grant, peace to your family. Peace to you, man.
Thank you.
I hope you're healthy. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You do the same. Take care now. Chris, you're on with Grant Napier. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Grant. How's it going?
I'm well, Chris.
I just want to talk about the Cavs Warriors series a little bit. I just think it's... a couple of games ago, everyone's talking about how this and that. But now, all of a sudden, tables have turned, and the best player in the league has showed up, and no one can stop him. And I'm just curious as to why all the media talk has switched, and now the Cavs are actually favored in Game 7 in Oakland on Sunday.
Are they favored in a betting line, or are they favored by – what are you going by?
Yeah, they're favored in the betting line.
Okay, I didn't even – because I don't bet. I didn't even look at that. That's very interesting to me. I still think the Warriors are going to win. I just think there's something magical. I don't see Curry and Klay Thompson having, you know, bad shooting nights in a game like that. I have a lot of respect for what the Cavaliers have done. I thought they got a major gift when Draymond Green was suspended for Game 5, and they took full advantage of it, and now they've made it a 48-minute series.
Okay, one more question, Grant. I'll take it off the air. Is now, how would you feel if the Kings dumped Darren Collins? What are we going to do after that?
I don't know. I'm not even going to talk about what the Kings are going to do with Darren Collison. You know, there are a lot more pressing issues right now, and that's in the court of law. And then after that, then I think, you know, the Kings will make the determination that suits them, and it's in the best interest of the organization. All right, we'll come back. We'll take more of your phone calls. The Grant Napier Show in Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, we are back with you here on the Grant Napier Show. It is 3:49. Time to save at Hot Tub Supercenter. Call 315-TUBS or visit Jacuzzi of Sacramento. .com. All right, let's get to Eric. Hello, Eric. Eric, what's going on? Are you there, Eric?
Yeah, I'm right here, Grant.
Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, good afternoon. Hey, I do understand what you're saying regarding Darren Collison, but I think as a Kings organization, with the draft coming up, I do think as a Kings organization, you have to look at both sides and whether, you know, a Chris Dunn might be available or what you're going to do with position. I think you have to worry about situations like that.
I'm not saying you don't have to worry about it. I'm just saying, you know, first things first.
Like all the bigger things right now. I agree. Those are huge issues. I'm not disagreeing with that.
Right.
But it's important to look at both. I think, like the Ray Rice thing many years ago, the Ravens obviously had to go out and get a running back because they knew they were going to do without their running back, so they needed to fill that position. So that is an issue. I don't know what they're going to do. No one knows. I mean, if there's rumors out there, that's what we always talked about for years, obviously, when Jeff Peachey was here. You know, we hear rumors about this and that, and then what would actually happen was the thing that was never actually rumored, if you recall.
That's, yeah, I understand.
That's the way business should be.
Again, I'm going to wait and see what the Chargers say. I'm going to listen. I would say this, Eric. It doesn't seem good for him. I mean, you know.
Well, I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, I'm not against him at all. I like Darren Collison. I called your show a lot last offseason, and I was so upset because I told you my line was, I think Darren Collison lost the starting job due to injury. I think he would have been your starting guard, and Rajon Rondo would not have come in if he had not been hurt in the first place, and I wanted to see him start. So I'm a Collison fan, but we'll see how this goes. But I'm actually calling about the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
You talked a lot yesterday, obviously, the golf hour, and talked about Oakmont being the, you know, toughest course. I'm not a PGA Tour player. I like to see some tour players talk, but from what I've seen and felt and talked to guys, the toughest U.S. Open track is still, to this day, Olympic Club, because of several factors like the slanting fairways are really hard to hit, and the really small greens, where Oakmont has larger greens, and that we see now with the red numbers, when the greens are a little softer, they're easy to hit the greens. Now, I think Olympic Club is the one course that I've played. I haven't played a lot of courses around the world, but I kind of embarrassed myself the one time I played Olympic Club, because you cannot hit those fairways with trees overhanging almost every hole. And these tiny little greens, if you're not spot on with your wedges and your irons, I would say Olympic Club. I even looked it up.
Well, I got to disagree with you in this sense. I'm going to look at the scores of the winners at Oakmont, and I'm going to look at the scores of the winners at Olympic
Correct.
Club. And Oakmont.
You also got to look at the way it's set up. Olympic Club, the 17th hole Olympic Club is like 510 yards. That's one hole, a par five. You don't normally see a 500-something yard par five at a U.S. Open. Both the ones this week are 600. Yes, that's included in the course. But the Olympic Club, most guys would say it's harder to hit the fairways, harder to putt, and harder to focus. We had guys like Bubba Watson call it a joke. Guys walk off the course. And the weather at Olympic Club is always foggy.
Yeah, but you know what? I understand that. I get what you're saying about the weather. But my point is, if you just go by the winning scores of the winners at the Olympic Club.
Why would you go just by the winning
score? Well, what else would I judge it by? I mean, if I'm going to judge how difficult a course is, I have to judge what the winning score is, don't I?
A little bit. But
not a little bit. I mean, it's not even close, Eric. I mean, Angel Cabrera won the U.S. Open in 2007 at Oakmont, and he was five over par, Eric.
That's 1 year, Grant. You don't go by.
Well,
look
at the other years. I mean, just look at the other years. I mean, it's.
How about the 1966 U.S. Open at Olympic Club? It was like some of the ones in the past Olympic Club were like double digits.
Hey, listen, I'm not going to sit here and say Olympic Club's not a hard course. I agree with you. I think it's an absolutely incredibly brutal test of golf. You're right. Most of the lies in the fairway are on slopes. The greens are incredibly undulated. I mean, I think the 18th green is almost impossible when, you know, matter of fact, if you remember the last time they had the U.S. Open, or maybe it was the time before, they had to hose down the green, Eric, because
I played it a few years ago. They redid the greens before the last 2012 U.S. Open on 18. They redid it, so it's a new green.
I mean, I just played there a couple weeks ago. Trust me.
I'm watching on TV, Oakmont. It's a pretty, we'll call it wide open.
Yeah, compared to the Olympic Club, it is. But, Eric, you know this. Wide open or not, when you miss the fairway at a U.S. Open and you miss the intermediate cut, you're screwed. It cost you a minimum of a stroke.
Imagine having a tree in your way out of a bad lie, as opposed to you can still hack it out with nothing in your way. I'd say the average golfer would struggle more.
Well, I don't know if I would agree with you there. Do you see all the bunkers on this course? I mean, I mean, come on now.
Oh, the one. Hey, Rory McIlroy has already shot he's 8 or 9 over.
Yeah, I know. He's already done. Yeah,
he's already gone.
All right. So who do you think's going to win?
I'm gonna go with Phil Mickelson. I know he's not too far back. He's like 3 over right now.
Yeah, I don't like his accuracy on the weekend holding up off the tee.
He's hitting 3 with every time I watch him. He's hitting 3.
That's very smart. All right, man. Thanks for the call. All right. Hey, folks, right now it is 3:55, time to save at the Hot Tub Supercenter. Call 315-TUBS or visit jacuzziofsacramento.com. All right, when we return, Sam Amick, USA Today, will pick his brain on a wild night in the NBA. That's going to be coming up next here on the Grant Napier Show.